Hello, everybody. Welcome to the football fill-in. Scott McTominay was Manchester United's saviour on Saturday afternoon. So much so that Mark Goldbridge has called in sick today because he didn't want to have to say nice things about Scott. So we've roped in Rhino Legs Tom as a last-minute substitution. Arsenal won the big one on Sunday afternoon against Manchester City. Spurs went to the top of the Premier League and our Chelsea finally back. Come on, football fill-in, you beauty.
There's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
And as always, we've got the legend, Dave Watson. Watto, how are you, mate?
Very good, mate, thank you.
Did you enjoy the weekend's football?
I was very impressed with the weekend's football.
OK, well, where we're going to start right now is Arsenal against Man City. The big one, Sunday afternoon. I've got a confession to make. I didn't actually watch the game.
What?
I was playing in the James Madison Invitational Golf Foundation Day, which was absolutely fantastic. I had a lovely time. Shout out, James. The charity work is incredible. So I didn't actually get to watch the game because I was finishing golf. I was having a few beers. It was a lovely day.
Me neither. I was driving back from Glasgow having watched St Mirren play Rangers.
Wow, you
are... I watched it.
Well done. Right, so we can come to you then, Tom. Good game. Enjoy it.
No, yeah, it was all right. It was okay, wasn't it? I think the first half was bit cagey.
Yeah.
I felt like Arsenal, I said to Watto earlier on, I felt like Arsenal kind of got bullied a little bit in the first half. And I think in the long term for the season, I just think they maybe lack someone that's going to kind
of... An enforcer?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know whether Declan Rice is that guy, I'm not sure, but felt like... I mean, Kovacic probably should have got sent off. But it just feels like they need someone to really stick it about a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know whether that'll be Partey when he's fit again, but yeah, that was kind of my take.
Don't get me wrong, we've looked at all the highlights, we've looked at all the details, the data, all that kind of stuff. Watto, I want to talk about that red card then quickly. The not a red card, Kovacic.
Yeah.
Should have been two yellow cards, really?
Yeah, I think on the first one, he's actually very, very lucky. I know VAR looked at it, but on another day... interpretation could have been different and it could have been a red. I think the big thing for me is, like, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, it's a rash challenge yeah. against Rice. And I think if he's not had a yellow card, it's certainly a yellow card. So I'm at the point now where referees, are they just trying to say, look, I want to stick with 11v11 here? If you're a coach or a manager, you're doing your nutting at the side because you know that's another booking and he should be off. Or is he just trying to make sure it's the biggest game of the weekend, it's going to stay 11v11?
That's nonsense. Surely, Ben, you've played in games where it doesn't matter if he's on a yellow card. They need to take every foul on its own merit.
It shouldn't matter. This is the point. This is the bit where the managers will be going crazy for it, because I guarantee you, once Kovacic puts that tackles in on Declan Rice, Pep Guardiola is watching that going... What are you doing?
You've gone.
What are you doing?
No, the 100% Guardiola, when he makes that tackle against Rice...
Yeah.
If there were a camera on him, he's thinking...
He'd have turned around
off. He's off. Yeah. No doubt about it. And he's got away with one. But I think the referees... Again, we're talking about them all the time. First one could have been a red. Fair dues, he's give a yellow, so they've stuck with it. But when he makes that next tackle, his job as a referee is to give that yellow card. And it's not about... denying the entertainment for the fans or whatever and saying it should be 11v11. At that point, it's the letter of the law, it's a yellow card, he's off, it's finished.
The referee's bottled it, hasn't he?
I think he has bottled it.
He has bottled it.
I think he's got swept up with the fact it's the massive one on Sunday.
First half.
He knows that the world are watching this game.
Yeah, for sure.
And like you say, it's the first half and he's bottled it. He wants to keep it 11v11, a good spectacle on TV.
Yeah, but what happens this morning when Howard Webb's on the phone to him again? Is he saying... you've done really well here, Michael, to keep it 11v11. Or is he saying to him,
what are you doing?
Mate, what are you doing? It's not our job to make sure it's 11v11. The players have got to take responsibility. If he's down for 2 yellow cards in 5 minutes, it's 2 yellow cards
and
he's off.
As well. He was in a good position as well. So, like that first one, if that was a red, would people be complaining that it was a red?
No, I don't think they would.
We watched it this morning and said, that could be a red, that could.
Yeah, sure.
That could
so
be
that,
a red.
So that is arguably, that's a red. Yeah. That second one, that's so obviously
just quickly,
a yellow card.
Somebody said this to me yesterday, I can't remember who it was. They said, they'd be talking about VAR. It's like everybody just talks about VAR. And it's the overriding theme of football, isn't it? And they said, do you know what? Why don't they just try and go and do a month without VAR? Why don't they say, we're going to do a month, yeah, without VAR, just get rid of it, right? And we'll see how it goes. We'll do a month, just see how it goes. Just see if everybody enjoys it, if the fans enjoy it, and if they don't enjoy it and we want to go back to VAR.
We had 100 years of that, though, Ben.
Yeah, and if not, let's just keep it as it is with no VAR then. I was like, that's a really good idea.
Well, Big Ange said he's not sure we've got the technology for it, so...
That's what I'm saying. Why don't we try it? Genuinely, I think that's a really good shout.
I think we're now in a position where they've backed themselves into a corner where they've got to stick with it.
They're sticking with it now.
And it's just embarrassing.
Whether it's right or wrong, they're sticking with it. But let's talk about the game a bit more then. Watto, that's a massive, massive win for Arsenal. Is it a bit of a statement as well?
I think it has to be when Arteta's never taken a point off them in the Premier League.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know what happened last season. Arsenal were so far in front and City beat them twice in the real biggies. I think for them to have even taken a point would have been a massive move forward in terms of momentum. But to win that game, I've watched the game like you this morning again, and it was just a real technical battle, tactical battle. It was like chess, not massive chances in the game. And it was probably going to be a goal like that, a deflection that maybe won it. I think it's huge for Arsenal. The interesting point were for us, if we talk about the goal, is Raya plays in goal, got away with probably 3 or 4 moments of madness, if I'm honest with you. If that would have been Ramsdale, everybody would have been crying, Raya's got to come in and be number one. But Arteta at the end of the game went and grabbed him and give him a hug, really showing that he's his number one and backing him. Post-game in the interview, that's what I'm asking him to do. That's what I want him to do. That's how he's going to play. But I just think for me as an Englishman, I think Ramsdale could have equally have had that same performance and have passed the ball and done the same things and would have probably shot him down.
It's brilliant goalkeeping is, right? Because sometimes you can have a game like this and you get away with it and you keep a clean sheet and it's like, brilliant, this is absolutely amazing. And then you have other games like that where you make, they're not massive errors, are they? But they're ones that he's got away with a little bit.
What are the back four thinking though, Ben? Right.
Yeah, I think the problem is you're playing Man City and you know that as soon as you play that ball back to David Raya, that is their trigger. That is literally their trigger. It's like Man City set traps almost to do this sometimes. Yeah, they wait and wait and wait and get it to the close point where they go, right, it's going to go back to goalie. And as soon as it goes back to the goalie, whoosh, every one of us just go in there and push as quick as we can. So for David Raya, he needs to know that he has to be rapid with it. He has to get the ball out of his feet and has to pick a pass. And if he can't pick a pass, he's going to have to do it fairly long or chip it into a midfielder or something like that. He didn't even have a chance to do that because the second the ball's got him, to him, the one where he's on the line, basically. Yeah, yeah. The second the ball gets to him, he has to just basically try and open up and get somewhere. But the lad is on him. Alvarez is on him so, so quickly. I had one of them against Arsenal, actually, when I was at Watford a few years back, 3 or 4 years ago, and it was Aubameyang. And exactly the same thing, yeah? Played it to me. I tried to open out onto my left foot to go and play it over there. Before I knew it, I could see Aubameyang like literally there. I'm thinking, I've gone to clear it. It's hit Aubameyang, gone straight in the back of the net. I'm thinking, shit. We lost the game 1-0. Shit. It's horrible.
No, but he's a millisecond and he's got away with it.
Yes.
That's how quick these guys are on you. You know what I mean?
That's the point. I think like the casual fans like me, we'll watch it. And I did it yesterday and I went, just fucking get rid of it.
Yeah, I know,
and is it a case of they are just that fast?
Yeah, they
because
are that
it
fast,
felt like Raya was... We're just pondering on it.
No, it's a slow ball back to him, for one. I think you see David Raya pointing to, I think Gabrielle who played it back to him, I think it was. You can see him pointing to him because what he's saying is basically there, you either give it to me first time so I can just get rid of it and it's a slower ball, or if you are going to play it to me, you have to play it to me quicker, a lot crisper so I can open out and do it. But he didn't. It was a bit of a ponderous ball, wasn't it? It didn't really help him.
Well, you have your touch then. You're dead you need to have one. And he's then straight on you. I agree. The pass... The way that goalies play now, they've got to just trust that they've got a good touch. So you've got to pass it as though you're playing into your midfield players. And he's got to take his touch and get out of there quickly. But He were very lucky on, I would say, three or four moments. A couple of them with the ball at his feet and a couple with them on the crosses where he got in no man's land and Rice cleared one off the line.
So what does he do now, though? So you can't just throw Raya in and go, he's had a kind of poor first half, so let's chop him out. Does he just give him four or five games now? What's the protocol here? Because that's his number one, isn't it?
That's it. Oh, it's his number one. It's as simple as that. That's it now. It's done.
Does Aaron need to go in January to look at the Euros in the summer? Well, does Aaron need to think about going?
I don't know if Arsenal would let him. I don't know who might need a goalkeeper. It's goalkeepers, like, at that level, the very top level, it's so hard to get a move, mate. Honestly, it is so hard to get a move. I don't know what's going to happen with Aaron. I really, really don't. Whether he can go abroad and play for the last part of the season, I'm not sure. But he does. He needs to play. It's as simple as that. The Euros are coming up, and otherwise he's at risk of not even being in the squad if he doesn't play another Premier League game between now and the end of the season. It's bad, isn't it?
It's really tough for him. You're spot on in the analogy. When you're a top goalie, unfortunately, he's going to need, unfortunately, another top goalie to get injured to probably be able to force something in January, because you're not going to go and move to sit on the bench again. So unless something happens, they're not really going to have a catastrophic drop of form. So you need an injury to give you an opening at another club. So you don't really want that to happen. But for Aaron, he can't want to sit there for the next 8 months. I mean, it's going to be torture for him, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Right, we're going to talk about Spurs in a minute. Arsenal, though, massive win, up to second in the league. Spurs, though, the team that are above them, first in the Premier League. I only went and captained Heung-min Son this weekend.
Same.
What am I doing?
Did he get 3 points?
He got 3 points. But you know what? I'm listening to it on the radio because it's the early kickoff on Saturday. And then Basuma gets sent off just before half time. And I'm thinking, brilliant. Brilliant. All that means now is that Spurs are going to have their backs to the walls. It's going to be a tough game for them. It's probably not going to score a goal. And then out they come, second half, score a goal. This is another big win. This is a win where last year, the year before, Spursy gets mentioned. And that's not them anymore, is it?
No, I watched the first half, to be honest, and obviously, look, Basuma's crazy. He deserves a yellow card. And then, to be fair, the referee's got it right.
Yeah.
He dives, it's got to be a yellow.
He does exactly what should be done.
He does what should be done. But Spurs were immense in the first half. Should have been three or four clear, irrespective of the red card. But I'm like you at half-time, I'm thinking, right, what Spurs team are we seeing this second half? Are we going to see the team that's going to try and get to the top of the Premier League, or are we going to see the team we've seen over the last 3 or 4 years? I have to say that Ange, we've given a lot of credit to, but I have to say the two centre-halves were phenomenal on the day in terms of they're not up against too much in terms of Luton, if I'm honest, but they defended well, but they set every attack up. Every time they got the ball, they stepped forward, they played into areas and actually really put Luton on the back foot by being aggressive and taking the ball into their territory. We spoke about the goalie numerous times. I think the two centre-halves and the goalie keeping clean sheets, it's putting Spurs on a platform. The old Arsenal 1-0 wins. They deserve to win the game for sure. Luton missed a big chance at 0-0 start the second half. But ultimately, I watched the game, as I said, and it was great to see actually the goal comes, relentless pressure. Third corner, all of a sudden, Madison's been running either side to take the corners. All of a sudden, Kulusevski gets on the ball, sees Madison's free, wraps it into his feet, has a little touch, shimmies him in the box, short corner.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And the centre-half, Van de Ven, puts it in for his first goal. But it was just good momentum in the game. Yeah. And it's not a training ground routine as such.
Yeah.
It's just players seeing a moment and taking a moment.
Yeah.
If you can get Madison 1v1 in the box,
it's
nearly a penalty. But he stays on his feet to play the pass.
And there's not many players like him. The only thing I always think with Madison now is that look at England. I think he's got to be in for England. But the way Bellingham is now, people are saying about playing him off the as a kind of 10. Yeah. And you think, well, if that's the case, Maddison ain't getting anywhere near us.
It's brutal,
but he is unbelievable.
He is unbelievable. Like, I think the three signing Spurs, the three big signing Spurs have made this season, the goalie, Van de Ven and Maddison. When you look at that, you, on paper, you go, yeah, they're decent signings. They're decent signings. But you're losing Harry Kane. That's a massive problem. Massive, massive problem.
But it's the first time, I think, that they've got recruitment spot on.
Spot on.
Spot on.
Proper players, so these three are.
We've alluded to a Brighton in the past, yeah, being ready and prepared. And look, I think the manager coming in at Spurs has been huge. But the recruitment's been done without him being manager,
yeah,
wherever he were on the list to be the Tottenham manager. But behind the scenes, it seems to be that they've kind of got things right,
yeah,
for the first time for a long, yeah, time.
Do you know what? The goalie and the defender, they just look like normal blokes. They just come in, do their business and go home. You don't hear anything about them, do you? I don't know anything about Van de Ven. I don't know anything about Vicar. I know
he got 16 points and he was on the bench for me.
Oh, that's my own fault. Sloppy management. Sloppy management. Even Maddison, right? Maddison must be a manager's dream. Genuinely. Comes in, he's got a smile on his face. He does it properly. He works hard. He goes out on a Saturday afternoon and he is relentless. He might try and take somebody on, lose it. The next time he gets the ball, though, he's going to try and take him on again. To have that sort of player relentlessly doing that is incredible. So we've got a stat in front of us now here. James Maddison has got 13 goals and 12 assists since the start of last season. This season, 2 goals and 5 assists so far for Spurs, which is some start to his season.
He's phenomenal. And with Kane leaving, I always kind of think, you know when like a relationship will end and people, yeah, go, oh, it's for the best.
Yeah, yeah.
And everyone,
yeah,
goes, no, it's not. Like, yeah, it's just happened. But with this, I'm beginning to think Kane leaving was for the best.
Maybe.
Genuinely.
I think you might be
and,
right.
And
yeah,
the reason being is because they've got so much talent, right? Look at the absolute elite of the elite, yeah, right? And I'm not saying Tottenham are the elite of the elite, but Sonny is.
Yeah.
And you've got Sonny there, and it's all of a sudden you go, look at James Maddison. You get in there and he goes left, he goes right, he goes forward. If this was last season, James Maddison would be going, Harry Kane. Just get the ball to Harry, yeah, Kane. And look at that level, like when Ronaldo leaves Real Madrid, Benzema wins the Ballon d'Or, yeah, the, yeah, next year. Other elite players step up.
Get to flourish.
Yeah,
they get
and
to
that's,
spread their
they're,
wings
they're
and
less
fly.
One-dimensional. They've got so many options now.
Yeah.
And that's why I think like the team is refreshed, the new manager, those signings, the whole spine of their team has had a refresh.
Are they genuine title contenders? What?
100%.
Do you think so?
100%.
Love this!
What happens if Madders, it's one injury? Like, look at Saka. Saka's out yesterday. They still win. Maddison, if he got an injury or Son.
This is where.
Well, you look at that. Look at Rodri, the stupid red, yeah, card. They've done nothing without him. So each team has got one guy that's probably pivotal.
But you think about Man City. When Man City get De Bruyne back, when Rodri's back in there, De Bruyne and Rodri are, in their positions, probably two of the best players in the
true
world.
In the, yeah, world, yeah.
So they are going to bring Manchester City back, aren't they? That, yeah, is my worry. I just think what these teams, what the Arsenals, what the Liverpool, what the Tottenham need right now is for Man City to drop as many points as they possibly can.
Well, they've done 3 on the bounce, yeah, in all comps,
yeah,
haven't,
yeah,
they?
Absolutely.
Whilst they're missing these players, you need them to try and drop as many points as you can, because, you know, once the big boys are back in that starting lineup, yeah, they are going to go on those runs like what, yeah, they did last season. Like the end of last season where they went, what was it, 30,
yeah, look,
14 games?
They're well capable of that, but Tottenham without Maddison, 100%. But that's the difference with a City. They've got more of them players that they can hopefully do without.
Yeah.
Whereas Tottenham at the minute, Maddison is running the show. But I agree. If Kane's in the team, he probably won't have half of these assists because he'll play the short 5-yard pass to Kane because he wouldn't feel as though he's the main man in the team. Where now, he's just playing unbelievable football.
OK, so that's 20 points for Spurs in their opening 8 games. Their best start to a season since 1960-61 season. They only went and won the league that season, didn't they? I was a Tottenham fan as a kid growing up. I'm not saying I'm jumping shit back on them or anything like
He's
that.
He's fickle, isn't he? Had an Arsenal shirt on last
I'm
week.
I'm just saying I was a Tottenham fan as a kid and it's nice to see them back where they belong, so a proper team in Tottenham. Anyway, Chelsea. Chelsea were your team.
My
your dark horses.
Horses
at, yeah, the beginning of the season, Watto. Yeah. The start of the season was horrific for them.
Horrific,
let's not beat,
yeah,
about the bush.
No.
But the last couple of games, big couple of wins, back to where they should be.
Yeah, I called that. I fancied them to win the game at Fulham, even though that's a real tough game for them.
Yeah.
But I think that's given them a little bit of momentum now. Look, Burnley have had real tough fixtures at home. I mean, they've played all the big boys. They had a good win at Luton, so it were a tough game for Chelsea.
Yeah.
And watching it and seeing the action, actually, Burnley did really well in the first half.
Yeah, well, they got off to a good start.
Chelsea lucky to go in 1-1 at half time, but let's be honest, Sterling were running the show. And I mean, on his performance over the weekend, he's probably a little bit unlucky not to get in that England team. But they've got so much talent, England, going forward now. We're talking about Maddison. We're talking about Bellingham. Sterling, obviously tried and tested Premier League player, England international, can't get in the squad now. And he was phenomenal against Burnley. But I think Chelsea are slowly getting to where I thought they would be. Do I still think they've got enough to get where I thought in my prediction of top four? I think they've got the players. I think it's moulding together. I'm not quite sure they'll get the top four, but they're back on track for sure.
What do you think? Do you think they'll make top four?
I think there's a lot of good teams. I think if anybody can sit here today and say this is guaranteed going to be the top four, then you're kidding yourself, because nobody really knows. Everybody's having their ups and downs. Liverpool seem to be sort of a bit blowing hot and cold. So I can't really say with all certainty, in all honesty. I think we're just going to see as the season goes. Seven games, it's too early. Eight games, it's too early to predict all this kind of
stuff. I don't think they'll make top eight.
I think we need to go halfway through the season, then you'll be able to see where we are. I agree with you. I think there's probably eight teams in the league this year that can really have a bit of a jumble sale about who's going to be where.
Chelsea, like they should be beating Luton. And again, no disrespect and all that jazz, but they should be beating Luton and they should be beating Fulham.
Burnley,
and it's low hanging fruit for them.
Yeah, true.
They should be winning these games.
Yeah, it's true.
And Sterling tearing it up against them, that's great.
He should be.
But let's see him do it against Arsenal and let's see him do it against City.
Do you know who I was really impressed with? I've been really impressive actually for the last couple of weeks. Cole Palmer. Yeah. Cole Palmer, right? So I watched him against Fulham the other night. His work rate, that kid, is phenomenal, right? For a young kid, like English kid especially, you don't really necessarily expect him from coming through all these academy graduates. Nowadays, you see him, you just think, they're technically incredible. They get on the ball and they try and pass it and they keep it simple and it's this and that. He just looks like an absolute rogue. He likes to get the ball, he likes to run with it. But when he loses the ball, he likes to get back, work hard. Anytime you see him breathing, right? Properly breathing. Because he's giving it everything.
Yeah.
He's not just running around like headlessly. He's giving it everything he's got. He shuts down with intensity as well. And I was watching him, I was thinking, that's proper, that is, mate. I like that, because to play in the Premier League nowadays, the technical part of it, you have to have. Everybody's got that pretty much, yeah? But the thing that really separates out that part to being a proper player is having that will and desire to really shut down and really press.
No,
brilliant, honestly.
Relentless performance.
Relentless.
And I think the big thing for me is it's 1-1 half time. Sterling does his bit, get the penalty. In a team of
big
superstars, big money, to give him the penalty probably says what the manager and the group think of him.
Yeah.
And then obviously you've got to put it away. But I think there's something special in him for sure.
So am I being cynical then, Watto? Like, am I being cynical? Why is he allowed to leave City then? Is it a case of like they did last season with Zinchenko and with Jesus when they go, no, they're really good players, but we've got other really good players, and do your best because we are still confident we'll beat you? Because the cynic in me goes, why would Pep let him go? Why would he do it?
I've had a few thoughts on this. I actually wrote these down in my notes when he actually moved. And I think there's a few things at play. First and foremost, I agree with you, right? If Pep Guardiola is willing to let a 19, 20-year-old kid go, there has to be something that he's seen. Some sort of a fundamental flaw somewhere in Cole Palmer's makeup, yeah?
Maybe you just said it there, Ben. The work rate's amazing, right? But when you said about almost being rogue, because Pep is so disciplined.
Yeah,
every player that goes there will go, when you're in position, when you're out of possession, you stand here.
And it's
so methodical. Is that against him?
Maybe that's
rogue.
What it is. I think there's so many factors at play though, all right? So I think first and foremost, Cole Palmer's not going to get into Man City starting team. He's not. But he knows that if he goes to Chelsea, he will. So I think Chelsea have made some inroads into Cole Palmer. Cole Palmer's gone, you know what, I'm going to play if I go to Chelsea. One, I'm probably going to double my wages. Two, I get to live down in London. Three, I might start every single week for Chelsea in the Premier League, right? Man City get 40 million quid for him. It's a lot of money. I know Man City have got money, but with this financial fair play that's involved at the minute, 40 million quid for a 19, 20-year-old kid that's probably played 30, 40 Man City games in his career is massive money, right? So I understand what you're saying, but I just think everything laid out on paper, I think Man City and Pep go, probably.
And is he going to turn out to be better than what they've got
You don't know. That's the whole point of it. But what they do know is Man City is they know they've got world-class players. They know it. Cole Palmer's a maybe. He's a maybe a world-class player, right? Sure. He's a world-class player. One thing you said a minute ago was, are Chelsea going to get into the top four, top five, top six this season, right? After the international break, look at their fixtures, Chelsea. Arsenal, Brentford, Spurs, Man City, Newcastle, Brighton and Manchester United. So them fixtures right there, the teams that I've just mentioned there, are all sort of teams that are going to be in and around that top eight, okay? I'll be able to give you a better prediction of where Chelsea are going to finish this season after them games. What is it? Four, five, seven games there. Them seven games are going to define Chelsea's season, genuinely, aren't they?
Yeah, no, 100%. But I'm with you. Look, I think City have done good business. Guardiola's not stupid in terms of what he's doing. He's got what we all agree is the best centre-forward in the world or on the planet at the minute. So Palmer is not going to get much game time.
Alvarez as well.
Yeah, they've got a good forward line. It's good business, £40 million.
Yeah.
And I think he looks as though he's potentially going to have a very, very good career. But he's not Haaland, and he's not Haaland yet.
Yeah.
So they want the finished article, City. And if you can get £40 million for a maybe, I think that's good business.
Yeah, absolutely. Just on Haaland, by the way. How quiet was he yesterday?
Hey,
I know he's not going to be every single game.
Hey, he's had a few now, you know.
Like, he barely touched the ball.
Mate, he's had a few now, you know. I'm half tempted to get him
since
out of that
Craig
fantasy.
Dawson had him in his pocket, he's never recovered.
Hey, we love Craig Dawson.
We love him. Get him on.
Go on, big Craig Dawson. Just quickly, Burnley, it's going to be a tough old season for him, isn't it? Why?
It's going to be a tough old season. I think the game in the week winning at Luton has put them where they need to be.
Yeah.
I think they've had real tough fixtures for sure. And like we're talking about the Chelsea fixtures coming up, Burnley are now going to go into a run of fixtures where they can
pick
get something.
Some points,
I have to say that I just feel as though they're going to think they can beat Bournemouth.
Yeah.
And get out of the bottom
three. Simple as that.
Okay,
Manchester United. Wow, late drama, absolute late drama. Honestly, Mark Goldbridge absolutely bottled it today. He didn't want to have to blow smoke up Scott McTominay's bottom, so he's called in sick, didn't want to come in, didn't want to say nice things. Only joking, Mark, he had something on it, simple as that. He just couldn't make it. This is a huge win for Man United. This is a huge win, Watto. A couple players under serious pressure if this game would have gone south, okay? If this game would have stayed at 1-0, Onana under massive pressure. Ten Hag, massive pressure. This kind of gives them a little bit of breathing room going into the international break, doesn't it?
Well, yes.
Let's talk about the goalie first. Right? Just break down this goal that Brighton scored, please.
So
Otto was raging.
Raging is what he's seething.
So the Brentford goal is one of the worst goals. I mean, honestly, I've not played and put the gloves on for 20 years. I think I'd have saved it.
Really, to
be honest. Look, he's come in with all this singing and dancing. Ten Hag knows him. He's going to play great football. I've not really seen that, to be honest.
Yeah.
But ultimately, he's got to keep the ball out of the net. Man United had one of the best goalies that the Premier League's had in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
And they're conceding the worst goals. Look, this is a shot that goes in the middle of the goal.
Yeah.
Does it come through bodies? Yes, it's the old rainbow dive, it's the big arc, and then we have a swooshing right hand at the ball. Very simple for me, chop away, two hands on it and just catch it. It's in the middle of the goal. We don't need the flash movement of the arm for a big save. We don't need the rainbow up and over trying to look, just chop away, two hands on it and catch the ball. It's in the middle of the goal. It's nothing that we should be talking about. He should be picking it up and they should be playing counter-attack football.
I think he's got a bit too flat-footed with it. I think he's got flat-footed and that's the reason why he's had to do the rainbow dive. When he says, when Wario says sort of kick your legs away, basically, is what he means is just sort of...
Just chop away and get underneath.
Kick your legs away and then you can get a proper nice little proper technique then.
Two hands on it and just catch it.
Because that is an easily catchable ball. It shouldn't even really be a trouble, nothing. It's a kick away and then it's a boom. But like I say, I think he's got his feet planted too much that he's tried to, like you say, do that rainbow dive and that just takes time.
You lose time because you get this arc. Your body's in an arc position like the rainbow where normally you're chopping and you're really aggressive.
Yeah.
With your one or two hands.
And your arms
aren't
in the right position. It's just a really bad goalkeeper.
It's awful. But I have to say that I was so disappointed with the two goalies on show in that game.
Yeah.
Look, Flecken's ill before the game for Brentford. But if Brentford wouldn't have had their third choice goalie in, they win that game comfortable.
Yeah,
he dropped every ball that came into him. And yes, McTominay scores two in the last 5 minutes of injury time. The first one he parries, and McTominay has a good finish for sure. Second one, it's a deep set play. Brentford will be absolutely raging. Look, they hit Maguire. That's what Maguire can do. It's a diagonal, but you've got to conform and drop in. If you don't win the first, it's never going to be a one contact header from there.
Yeah.
It's two contact header. So when the ball comes in diagonally, everybody who's at the front of the line drop in and defend. There's only McTominay made a run in there. Yeah. But the goalie again, he's moving, he's on his back foot. Wafts the right hand at it, it's gone in off the post.
Yeah.
Honestly, two goals at his end that they should have been kept out, and the goal that Brentford scored. So really, we say 0-0, but Man United have got away with it.
Yeah.
Got away with it 100%, and it keeps Ten Hag in a position of strength there, because with the international break, the noises around the club would have
been... They dodged a bullet.
Dodged a bullet.
But looking at the stats that Jay's put on here, and McTominay, 19 games... 9 goals, 1 assist since March 23.
For Manchester United.
Yeah, now I know Mark isn't Scott's number one fan. I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I watch him play, I've seen him play live a few times, and he's big.
Yeah.
He's strong, he's powerful, he's tidy on the ball.
Yeah.
I don't get where this hate comes from. And actually, I think he's proved with Scotland as well. You pay him slightly more advanced, and he does get forward, and he will get goals.
He's a goal threat.
He is
if you allow him to take the reins off and get higher up the field.
You know what Scott McTominay needs to do? I totally agree with you, mate. I do. I feel Manchester United fans just label him as this, that, and this, and that. And I completely disagree with it. I think he's the sort of player that you want in your team. He is that 100%. Kind of player. He deserves to go to a decent team. He deserves to go to a Brighton or a Brentford. And be their main man in that position, right? He will be the lad who will do it properly for you, properly professional, big, strong, stand up and be counted. He'll always be there for you. But I just think, because he might not have the technical ability, the flair, the dribbling of some of these big stars in this Manchester United team. But you know what? I'll forgo all of that and I'll take a proper personality on the pitch, I will.
Yeah.
I'll take a Scott McTominay. So I'm buzzing for him, I was.
Yeah,
I was
mate.
Absolutely buzzing for him.
Oh, fantastic.
He deserves that because he gets so much flack. Even Harry Maguire, he did really well, he did at the weekend. Set up the goal for the final goal.
Yeah, for sure.
Fantastic. But this is
the one thing I would say is for sure Lindelof's not a left fullback.
Oh, without doubt.
But that's how short they are, Man United. Yeah. Lindelof playing left back.
Well, yeah, they have got injuries all over the pitch.
But look at what they did over the summer. Look at their dealings in the summer. Yeah. And yes or no question here, Ben. Did they make a mistake with Onana?
Yes. Yeah. Without doubt, it's another mistake.
And De Gea sat there.
It's a mistake that didn't need to happen. It didn't.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's like the Arsenal one with Raya. It doesn't need to happen. Genuinely, it's a position that was already set, already sorted. Just leave it, all right? Just leave it
but
as
that's
it
an
is.
Obsession. I think this playing out from the back. I think this is a buzzword, and I think it's like an obsession now of, like, Ramsdale and De Gea. There were problems that didn't need fixing.
Without doubt.
But you've seen it this weekend, so we'll come on to it. Alisson.
Yeah.
Verbruggen, Raya, all wanting to do the same thing and play and play and play. So a lot of teams are just going full press high and here we go. And you've got to be unbelievable to get past that full press. We've spoke about the speed and the pace of the players. But there's mistakes coming left, right and centre. And yes, it's great and we all want to play. But you've got to be able to mix it up and play the game as you see it. You can't just keep doing the same thing time and time again and think something different's going
to
happen.
What, do you reckon we're ever going to get back to that golden age of where goalies just stop the ball going in the back of the net? Do you reckon we're ever going to get to that place again when that's the most important thing? That's what managers want now, is a goalie that just stops the ball going in the back of the net. That'd be incredible, wouldn't it?
Well, I would love it, because ultimately that's what I've been brought up on, and I still believe if I were doing the job, yes, they're going to join in more of the outfield practices. Yes, I'm going to be doing more distribution drills. But we're talking about the fine line here. You've still got to be able to stop the ball going in the back of the net. It's the biggest asset and strength you can have.
Look, I've got some more stats here for you, everybody. Man United have conceded the opening goal in 4 consecutive Premier League games at Old Trafford. They've only done this 3 times in their entire history.
Wow.
And also, this is the first time that Manchester United have been trailing in the 90th minute and they've come back and won in the Premier League. So that was a big old result at the weekend. Right, Brighton, Liverpool, 2-2 draw. Do you know what? I could see this being a draw before the game, to be honest with you. Sunday was full of draws, wasn't it, really, apart from the Arsenal one. But let's start with the Alisson one then. Overplaying. Talk me through it.
Look, overplaying. He plays a simple pass into Van Dijk. But again, because of the way that they are, he stays in a really aggressive position. Yeah. So when Van Dijk plays into midfield and it's nicked and they bounce it forward, he's not even in the goals. And it's just a simple side foot ball.
It's a very good side foot goal. Come on.
It's a good side foot goal.
Let's give the striker a little bit.
Yeah, no, look. He's
taking it early. And I think that's what's boggled.
He's taking it early and he's got to see, but we've spoke before. Alisson doesn't really know where he is at that point. Exactly. It's just that's a dive problem, and he's hoping that he's covering the goal or whatever. But it's the modern way. And Liverpool, like a Brighton, like a Bournemouth, like a City, like all of them, to be honest, they still play. And as soon as you play that ball into midfield and it's not Bob on, you're wide open in terms of your centre-half positions and the goalie's positions. And they take advantage of it. It's not going to change the way they play. It's not really Alisson's fault, as in, he's given Van Dijk a simple ball. Yeah. Van Dijk tries to play the forcing pass through the lines. But he's in a position where he can't defend the goal. Yeah. That's modern football. But the opposition teams all know that.
But this is the problem, though. This is where you have to be a bit cleverer. I don't care if you're a big team nowadays. I don't care who. If you're playing a Brighton, if you're playing against them, who will press you, they will press from... They do it against Man City. Remember in the last season where they drew the game, didn't they? They pressed them like I've never seen anybody press Man City in my life before. So you know that they're going to do that to you. So if you're trying to pass them balls into the midfield, get back into your position. Get back into position and expect that you may lose it. It may get nicked off you. You've got to be careful. There's plenty more ways to go about winning football matches than just sticking religiously to your type of football.
Normally, you would say, certainly at the start of the game, if you can stretch the opposition by putting a few balls in behind or making them defend longer balls, then the pitch naturally becomes bigger.
Yeah.
Then you get more space to play. Obviously, they just played into Brighton's hands at that one moment.
This is where the fans don't see really as a goalkeeper. So Watto, when I was at Birmingham, for example, would say to me so many times, he'd be like, mix it up a bit today with your distribution. Yeah. So start the game, you would always go long, like we would always say, go long, because it stretches it. So then the defenders, the opposition would look at it and go, oh, they're just going to kick it long today, yeah? So they will automatically just stretch. They will sit back deep. They'll know that every goal kick, I'm shelling it. Every time I get the ball, shelling it. They'll just sit back. But then what you do is you wait for about three or four of them kicks to go, and then you might just pass one into your midfield or just pass one into your defenders. So they're like, oh, shit, we've got to get up. And then it sort of boggles the opposition a little bit. It's just it's mind games, isn't it?
Yeah, mixing it up a little bit. Because if you keep shelling it, whatever the opposition shape is, their two midfield players, whether they're sitters or they're aggressive players, have to be on your back four or back five's toes because they've got to be there for the second ball. All of a sudden, then the space is so much higher in front of them. But then when you've played a couple of short ones in and they're jumping and all of a sudden you pop one in and then our midfields run on and get in seconds, it just changes the whole dynamic. It's not so straightforward for them. But when everything's short in front of you, everybody's on the boom, 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 boom. And that's what happens. You create the momentum for yourself, really.
Yeah. Do you know what I liked about Brighton yesterday? The fact that they've gone and got pumped 6-1 last week against Aston Villa. They've turned out and done exactly the same thing against Liverpool. They're playing against Liverpool, one of the best teams in the land.
And they're a pressing machine as well, aren't they?
A pressing machine, and they've done exactly the same thing and gone, no, that's our way of playing football, all right? We will stick to it religiously. They've got players in there that I've never heard of, genuinely. Never, ever heard of. Their recruitment, like we always say, is top class. It is absolutely top class. But they just stick to the way that they play. De Zerbi is some sort of a manager. He really is.
We talk about the recruitment and a lot of people talk about this Carlos Baleba being the replacement for Caicedo. He's 19 years old and he's just another one. He's the next cab off the rank, isn't he?
Another one, yeah.
And it's like, and you just look at it and go, well, someone will sign him for 100 million next year.
Maybe 50 million, he'll be at City next year. Yeah.
But that's the difference, isn't it? With Brighton, is we've talked about it so many times before, but signing players for particular roles and particular positions. Whereas I, like going back to Chelsea, I don't think Chelsea will finish inside the top six. I really don't.
Yeah.
Maybe even not the top eight. Because they just look at it and go, he's a good player.
We'll get him.
Let's buy him. Let's buy him.
He's a midfielder.
We've got a good million.
He's really good. Yeah. Whereas it doesn't work like that at Brighton. It is just the next one.
What happens at Chelsea is he goes on Football Manager, right? He goes value, most expensive, descending order. So then he will see all the... And only midfield as well. He checks the midfield filter box, right? And he will go, I'll buy seven of them.
Yeah.
The ones at the top is what he'll do. It's bonkers. Right, let's have a look at the remaining games that we haven't spoken about yet. Let's start with West Ham 2. Newcastle 2. This is a good result for West Ham, you know. Really good result for West Ham.
But I also think it's a good result for Newcastle.
Yeah, I'm with you. I totally agree.
They've got the momentum of the Champions League game in the week. I mean, they beat PSG 4-1. What that takes out of you post that game. And then West Ham's a tough place to go and play. Yeah, you know, it's a physical game. Yeah. It's slightly
different.
They're a good
team, West Ham.
They're a good team, West Ham, but they can mix it up. And the euphoria from the game on Wednesday night and a 4-1 win, I think you could have seen Newcastle slipping up.
Yeah.
And especially when West Ham go a goal in front. It's a tough place to go, but they came back in the game well.
Yeah,
really.
Do you know what I think? Can we try and get some tickets for Newcastle's next Champions League match, please?
Oh,
at St James's Park.
Oh, the atmosphere!
I want to go and experience this, right? Because I watched this whole game, right? I watched it with my son, and it was just phenomenal. It was phenomenal. The way the fans, just every single cheer, the way every time a player does a slide tackle, gets up and gives that to the fans, and the fans feed.
Dan Byrne, roar. Oh. He's who's did he tackle? Was it him? No, I can't remember who he tackled, but Dan Byrne's obviously.
Anthony Gordon.
And he's got up and he's like roaring, and you think, I bet it'd be interesting. Newcastle fans will have to get in the comments, because that will surely be the best game they've ever been to.
Surely. I would like to think so, yeah. This is what I'm saying. I want to go to the next Champions League one at St James's Park, all right? Should we all do that, yeah?
Have a little away day.
He's going to get us some tickets. We'll definitely
I reckon
go.
We can. Right,
they're like gold dust.
They are like
gold dust.
They are that place, though, genuinely. I know I've always gone on about it, but it's a special place in football, Newcastle. Yeah. And once it gets going, it's rocking, isn't it?
But I think they're a special team now. I think that Eddie Howe, again, has gone under the radar, so we've heard some good recruitment. He's obviously a really good football coach and a football manager, but he's got a togetherness there now. And as I said, in days go by, you'd have probably said West Ham would win that game. I think that they were a little bit lucky, like we spoke about Kovacic. I think Guimaraes should have probably had a second yellow card, for sure. And the referee's in exactly the same position. He's not given the card. And obviously, staying at 11v11, they're a good team. I mean, Isaac went round the goal in, could have had a chance of a hat-trick, which would have seen the game off. But ultimately, I think it would have a good result for both teams. Two proper teams.
Yeah.
Both teams are in Europe, so they're both playing at a very, very good level. And you'd expect them both to make Europe again.
Isaac looks mustard. Him and Wilson now that just kind of alternate, or you know, one's injured, whatever. But they both score goals.
They both score goals. Simple.
But on West Ham, nice to see Jared Bowen sign a new deal. He deserves that, obviously, in the England squad, and he fully deserves that. Yeah. And I think that's nice that he has been on form this year.
Yeah.
So I know there's a lot of talk about Southgate not faking players on form, but he's on form and he's gone in.
Yes.
Right. The only one that does really, really upset me is James Ward-Prowse. Like, what has this guy got to do?
That's your boy, isn't it?
That's my boy.
What has he got to do to get in the England squad?
Honestly, I'm lost with it, because the Southampton tag, where the team had struggled for 2 or 3 years, and it's hard to pick him because they're trying to stay off relegation, then ultimately last year got relegated. I think that's a stigma that stayed with him, but he was still Southampton's captain. He was still the main man, delivering performances week in, week out in a very poor team. He's finally got his move. He becomes a real threat with his set plays because of the prowess that West Ham have got in terms of the physicality. But actually, yes, he's had some assists for sure from the set plays, but he's actually scored a couple of goals in open play. He scored a diving header, which I've never seen. So he's got to get in if he's going as an header, Prowsey. But he's gone in there and looked like he's been a West Ham player all his life. Because he's a top, top pro, a very, very good Premier League footballer. And, you know, for me, he's playing week in, week out at the very, very top of his game. And he deserves a chance in that England team, because He's got the tools to play for England. He's obviously played, I don't know, 8 or 10 games already for his country. He was Gareth's captain for the under-21s when Gareth started at that level. So he knows everything about him. And I don't really know what he's got to do, because he's playing week in, week out. And obviously, you know, some of the guys who are in there are not doing that. And he's got to be somebody who you know you can rely on. And certainly when you get to tournament football, it's a long tournament. You're going to get suspensions, you're going to get injuries, fatigue, all these things. He's a guy you can rely on to do it properly.
And he's lethal. He's lethal from dead balls as well. What are you feeling if you're in then, Ben? So, like, if another England squad gets announced and Calvin Phillips is in there and others are in there, you know, Harry Maguire, I don't agree with the witch hunt, but he shouldn't be in there based on not playing.
Yeah,
what are you feeling?
Yeah, you know what? The only sort of silver lining to all of it is that he might get 4 or 5, 6 days off where he can go on holiday. Genuinely, it's the only good thing that can come from an international break where you know you should be in the England squad, and the call don't come, and it's like, well, you know what? Eventually, at some point, you've got to go, I'm doing all I can do. But if he's not going to pick me, cool. I'm going to get a little holiday with the family next week.
Yeah, I'll take the wife away, two
exactly.
young kids.
Let's have a little recharge and we'll be good to
so
go.
So if you're a player like that that's on the fringes and maybe he could be quite rightly annoyed that he's not in, would players like that watch the England game on holiday? Is it something?
Yeah, everybody watches the England game. First and foremost, every footballer is a football fan anyway. Yeah. So if you're playing in England, you're watching the England games. As simple as that's the way that it goes. But like I say, it's a lot easier to take though when you're sat in Dubai and you've got a beer in your hand watching it, right? It softens it a little bit, doesn't it? Yeah. Wolves, Aston Villa, talk to me about your boys, Wolves, because I think a lot of people kind of were saying that Wolves, that they're done this season, they're going to get relegated. But it's not turning out that way. They've actually been a little bit unlucky, and it's a good result, 1-1 against Villa at the weekend.
Yeah, I said to Watto before the show that we deserve to be higher up the table.
Yeah.
And people go, yeah, but you haven't won the game, so you are where you are. Yeah. And I see it. But we played some good teams this season and narrowly lost. Obviously beat City last week.
Yeah.
But no, we're a good team. We've got a good team. And I think at the start of the season, with Lopetegui going the week before or the eve before, whatever it was, yeah, you think, oh, God, this is going to be a long season. And although we're down there, I look at us and go, yeah, we're all right.
Yeah.
Huang up front, Neto looks really
Neto's
good.
Neto's a player, isn't he?
But yeah, solid. Solid.
Aston Villa. It's okay. I would have put Villa down for a win on this one, especially after last week's resounding win against Brighton. They did actually have a chance, didn't they, in the last minute. Last
touch of the game, header onto the post.
Post wide. That there is the difference.
That could have just sealed his 5-year contract. He might have got a 10-year deal
Maybe that's a little bit of luck that Wolves maybe deserve, because they've had a few things go against them this season, so maybe that was just about right, really, then.
I think a fair result when you watch the game. But I tell you one thing. I think Wolves have got a very good manager in O'Neill. And I reckon Bournemouth will be thinking, because I think that's the next game as well, I'll be thinking, I wish we'd kept him.
Yeah.
But it was a good game. I think Villa, again, Europe on the Thursday night, they had a last minute winner. I think it suits a team who can prepare all week, as in Wolves did. But Villa have got top players.
Yeah.
But I think Wolves, with the manager they've got, I think he's building it. He's getting his tactics and the game plan proper. I don't fear for Wolves in any way, shape or form. And I actually think Gary O'Neill will go on to be a very good Premier League manager.
OK, if you don't fear for Wolves, then do you fear for Bournemouth? Because massive win for Everton at the weekend. Bournemouth,
I've just said I think Bournemouth will be regretting the day they allowed Gary O'Neill to leave when he kept him up and did what he did for him last year, having sacked Parker after one game or two games and putting him in charge. He did a phenomenal job. Look, they obviously thought they were bringing in better. Ultimately, it's not panned out that way. I think it's just real naivety of a guy who's not worked in the Premier League to go to Everton, who have not won a corner at home, really, and think that you're going to be able to go to Goodison Park and do exactly what we keep talking about, this passing, playing art, and Everton, the home fans, they're going to be coming at you that first 15, 20 minutes like you've never known. Mix it up, go along, create what we've just said. Centre-half gets it, tries to go past one, slips on the ball. They've got 3-1, puts it in after 8 minutes.
Yeah.
And it was just relentless pressure. But is that naivety? Because the guys, obviously he's watched the games, he'll have watched Everton's, but has he been to Goodison Park? Has he felt what comes there?
Yeah, it's really good shout, Water.
Has he played against your Deitchy team?
This is that experience. This is where having an experienced manager, experienced player.
Or some staff in there that can see who's been in the Premier League.
Isn't it just being adaptable and flexible as a manager and going, mix it up, like
mix
you say.
Up.
Do you know, you're playing against Sean Dyche's team.
Yeah.
You know what you're going to get. You know they're going to be up for it. And I think that'll be a real turning point for Everton this season.
The thing is, for Bournemouth as well, you've got players who are low on confidence, yeah?
Yeah.
If you've got lads that still pop in, like a Brighton, they can go anywhere and play a certain type of football because they've got lads who know what they're doing. They're well-drilled. They're confident lads, right? Brighton are low on confidence. They're getting popped each week. They're away at Goodison Park, yeah? Again, just mix it up. Go long for the first 10 minutes. Get a foothold in the game and then start your nice passing.
Surely,
it's as simple as that.
Everton were under more pressure going into that game.
Yeah.
The home fans they can be a real asset to that team.
Yeah, they can.
But if Bournemouth kept it at 0-0 for 15, 20, 25 minutes, and it starts turning a little bit, but you play into Everton's hands, and that's the point I'm saying. They never got in the game because they just kept doing what they did, and Everton were just all on them like a rash.
Well, the second goal, for example, is literally what you're talking about. Corner into the box, Neto, fantastic punch. The ball gets recycled, basically. Ball into the box.
Another
Neto,
punch.
Again, fantastic punch. In amongst bodies, getting rid of it. Ball drops to Jack Harrison. What a finish. As a goalie at this point, you're thinking, I'm helping my team out, I'm giving them benefit. And then you're, oh my God, say, crossbar and in.
That's an unbelievable goal. Because he can't lob it. He can't float it. And he's had to lob him with power.
It's like a driven side foot.
Yeah,
it's
beautiful. What technique for that goal.
That is technique. But this is what we're talking about. This is Everton all over. Ball comes back out, recycle it, get it back in. Ball comes back out, recycle it, get it back in.
Yeah.
Play it simple, Bournemouth, yeah? Play to the game that you're playing in front of you. Mix it up, go long, get it, stretch it, all that kind of stuff. But they didn't do that, and the result speaks for itself.
Well, here's the point. So Gary O'Neill has lost his job at Bournemouth, gone to Wolves. Wolves won at Everton because he knew what were coming at Everton.
Yeah. Mm.
Bournemouth have gone. Now we'll play the same football. Absolutely demolished. And it's given now Everton a foot up. They will have some momentum. Yeah. Bournemouth, like, they've got 2 weeks to ponder, like, probably the worst start they've had in the league. And it's like, Wolves next.
Do you think it'll be between them and Burnley to go?
That's what I feel. We spoke a few weeks ago whether the three that got promoted had come down. And I always felt Burnley would have a little bit too much. I weren't quite sure who they'd beat, but it's easy to say Bournemouth now because they're really struggling. But I think Burnley will just look at it and think, obviously they won at Luton, we can beat Luton's, we can beat Sheffield United's, let's make sure we do our jobs on Bournemouth and we can finish. If we finish above Bournemouth, we're going to be safe because the other two will be in there.
Yeah.
Okay. Fulham, Sheffield United. I think we could all. I feel for Sheffield United at this moment in time. They're struggling. They're struggling badly. They're getting pumped pretty much most weeks. And everybody, I think, could see away at Fulham's a tough match. And you could see that Fulham were going to win this game. Again, it's another one of those 3 p.m. kickoffs on a Saturday afternoon, so you don't get to watch the full game. You only watch the highlights. But the highlights reel consists basically of Fulham just battering them. It's as simple as that. Fodringham's having to make saves. They're getting shots hit the crossbar, post, all that. They're just struggling, aren't they? What are they? Are they proper candidates to go down this season?
Yeah, I think they're really up against it. I mean, look, the big talking point were the horror injury for Basham for me.
So bad.
I mean, nobody ever wants to see any of that for any footballer at any level. I mean, it's innocuous, but it looks horrendous. And I think that will have taken the wind out of the sails a little bit.
Sure.
You know, he's been in the team for season upon season. But take away from that, and I hope he manages to come back fit and play again. That's the key to that. But I think if you talk about Sheffield United and where they are in the league and going away to Fulham, you expected them to get beat. Fulham looked like they were 10 levels above them.
Yeah, they did.
I think Sheffield United are really up against it. You know, the recruitment, again, we talked about it, has not been good enough. They've allowed players to go at the end of the window and left the manager high and dry, really,
basically.
Whether they've accepted the fate already. But I just think it's difficult for the manager because how does he survive and keep his job when you're going to get beat and beat and beat and beat? What comes next? But I don't know where they go with it.
But is there any point in sacking him?
No.
Is there any point? I always think with Sheffield United, we talk about it often, but teams like that, they just got to that first 5-10 games of the season. Momentum is so important in football, isn't it? And unless they do get 2 or 3 wins in that first 10 games, I think they're a banker. Absolutely.
Let's quickly look at the bottom of the league then. So so Sheffield United bottom, played 8, 1-0, drew 1, lost 7. They've scored 6 and let in 22. So they're letting an average of basically 3 in per game. Then it comes Bournemouth, again, not won a game yet. Burnley played 8, 1-1. Luton played 8, 1-1. Everton, massive win for them, 16th, played 8, 1-2. Fulham, though, decent start to the season, 11 points. You know Fulham are going to be absolutely fine.
Mate, I'll tell you what I like watching. It's like he's Willian, right?
Yeah.
It's like he's 21 years
he's
old.
He's a rejuvenated Willian.
I told Ethan to put him in his fantasy team for this weekend. I don't know if he did it.
Bet he didn't listen, did he?
They probably didn't.
Isn't he? He's so he's so zippy, he's so direct, just wants to get a shot off. And I think he's been absolutely class.
Yeah, I agree. Fantastic pair. And then final game, we're going to go to do the quiz in a minute. Final game to run through one of the most drab 0-0 draws you'll see. Crystal Palace against Notts Forest. Forest actually should have won this game.
Forest are a good team.
Forest
are a really, really good team. And whenever I watched them, I'm not surprised. He's done a great job.
Yeah.
But I just think they zip the ball around so well. And I always notice about them, they just play into feet, really sharp passes into feet. And they move the ball really, really well. They play football. And I just think they're really, really enjoyable to watch.
I think they'll be absolutely fine this season.
I think they'll be a little bit disappointed they didn't win the game.
Yeah.
I think they had two or three chances in that game that could have been goal of the season.
Sam
contenders.
On fire.
Big strong arm. We were talking about it earlier, weren't we? About kind of weak hands thrown at it. That one that was rattled at him from about 8 or 9 yards out. Really strong
hands. Hands up.
Yeah, just
Who is it? The centre back.
Brazilian. It was like what a run.
Yeah, incredible. That's the bit there about goalkeeping that people won't appreciate. There's the fact that he stood up. When you come to 6 yards, it's so easy to just sort of guess, isn't it?
Almost drop
and get low and just guess he's going to do it. But to actually just stand there in the heat of the battle at that moment in time and go, yeah, go on, beat me. I dare you, beat me, right? A lot of goalkeepers would have sank there. I've seen it, again, I'm not coming back to Onana, I'm not trying to bash him, but I've seen him sink a few times this season in the Champions League in the week against Galatasaray. Come through where the lads come through, he's 1-on-1, and he just dinks him.
Yeah.
And Onana sinks down and it just makes it so easy for the striker. That is virtually a carbon copy of that, where you're thinking, don't sink, and he don't. He stands up, makes a save, then gets the rebound.
He's in a good position, Sam Johnston.
Yeah, he's done really
well. Obviously, with Aaron not playing, Southgate doesn't seem to fancy Nick Pope.
Yeah.
He's in a good spot, isn't he?
Yeah,
and he made a good couple of saves. I think, who was it? Was it Toffolo? He's absolutely
rattled one
from about 40 yards, and he's done really, really well. But the other thing with Forrest, I don't think he gets spoken enough about, is Morgan Gibbs-White.
Yeah, lovely, isn't
he? He is some player.
Yeah.
What I like about him, in a kind of day and age where often it can be slow build-up and a lot of night, he just gets the ball and goes. He goes one way, and it's never backwards.
Listen, I think we're talking about two teams here who are going to be absolutely fine come the end of the season. Palace will be buzzing off his international break, by the way, because they've got so many injuries.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So many injuries. So this is probably a good result for them at the weekend. We're going to do the quiz in 1 second. Before we get to the quiz, though, all right? I hope you saw this, Watto. I know you probably did, and you too as well, right? The man, probably one of the most beautiful footballers ever to have lived, yeah? Graceful, massive, handsome, lovely player, plunders goals like you wouldn't believe. Olivier Giroud, playing for AC Milan at the weekend, just went and shown that he can do absolutely everything. The goal he's got sent off, Mike Maignan, he's gone and filled into it for him for the last few minutes, making save after save. It's just proper goalkeeping, isn't it, Watto?
Well, look, he's not going to make a living as a goalie for sure. He's going to keep his looks for sure, because the one moment I've seen on the clips when he's got to go in and be like, us nutters are in there head first and everything's in. He's got
his eyes were closed, weren't they?
He's going to lose a hairpiece here. So he's going to keep his good looks.
Mate,
but
he
fair
can't
play.
Get kicked in that
he
face.
He can't get kicked
that
in the face.
That face is too handsome.
He just clipped the side of the ball, didn't he?
Enough.
But he was fully in there.
Mate,
eyes
he did
closed.
Enough. He did enough, all right. His presence was
he was that brave centre forward, don't you need?
Striker shit himself, right? I think Giroud shit himself.
It wasn't a John O'Shea goalkeeping performance, put it that way.
No,
I'll tell you what did make me smile this morning. Young Jamie, I thought he was taking the mick, actually. He went, oh, Tom, have you seen that AC Milan have listed him as a goalkeeper on their website? And I'm like, yeah, all right, Jane. He's like, no, look. So AC Milan on their website, goalkeeper... Olivier Giroud. That's class, that is. Well
very
done, OC.
Very good, very
Yeah, well
very
done. You
good.
Kept your looks as well. Well done, very good.
Right. He really can do it all, Olivier Giroud. Right, then, boys, it's quiz time. We ready?
I'm ready.
Ben's on a bit of a...
Downer.
A downer at the moment, aren't you, mate?
Well, we'll see. Right, here we go then. No mark today, so I can hopefully close the gap and draw all level at 3 apiece. So, unlucky, mate. Jamie, we good to go?
We are good to go. You ready?
Yep.
Question one. Who was the England manager in the Euro 2004?
Sven Göran Eriksson.
Correct. Tom, number one on the board.
Early start off mark.
Settle the pressure.
Feeling my heart rate's gone right up.
Pathetic you are. What's your heart rate right now?
It's like 80.
Shut up.
It is.
I'm 61.
Yeah.
I know, but you're calm.
Yeah, I'm nervous.
Under pressure.
Right, come on.
Question two. Which English goalkeeper has the most clean sheets in Premier League history?
Joe Hart.
Correct.
Come on, then.
Nice one. I thought I might
Joe Hart has 127.
Oh, has he?
How many has James got? He will.
I don't know.
He doesn't have that data in front of him.
I have a confession to make. Joe Hart does not have the most clean sheets for a Premier League English goalkeeper. It is, in fact, David James with 169 clean sheets. And I just want to apologise to David Seaman, who has 141 clean sheets, and Nigel Martin, who has 137 clean sheets, and then it's Joe Hart. So I'm going to give the point to Watto in this one. So, yeah, back to the quiz.
Question three. Can you name an Israeli player who has scored Yossi in Ben-Yun. The league? Yes.
Is that the question?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I was waiting for
something else.
Get in there.
There you go. 1-1-1.
No, I'm not on.
No.
Ben, 2.
2-1 now.
2-1 now.
So he's trying to do you down, innit?
Question four. Who is the only team in this game week not to start an English national team player
Luton.
In their starting 11?
What man about Luton? That's not Luton. Bad guess.
Say that again, Jay.
Who is the only team in this game week not to start an English national team player in their starting 11?
What, they've played for England?
No, they can play for
England. Ah, OK.
I think I've got it. Come on, Jay, give him a countdown then.
Not yet.
You give it to me straight away.
Brentford?
I think it's
Brentford's
Brentford.
Correct
yeah.
answer.
Brentford, yeah.
I was thinking Henry
Musson. I was going to say Tottenham.
I think it's Brentford.
Yeah, so Ethan Pinnock. He's born in Lambeth, but he plays for Jamaica's national team, so it doesn't count.
It's good
That's
question.
That's a sneaky, that is.
Good question, yeah.
Good question.
Question five. Who is the oldest player to ever play in the Premier League?
John Burridge.
Correct. John Burridge is the correct answer. It's true. He was 43 years, 5 months and 11 days.
Second.
Incredible.
Second.
43.
Second is...
Alex Chamberlain.
Alex Chamberlain.
Your old GK coach.
Top
man.
There we go. So 3-2-0.
Yeah.
Question six. Career path question.
Oh, you are good at these, aren't you?
Every week and he never gets it.
I've heard it already, Jake.
You can't just say it now, haven't you?
I was going to say it.
I have played for Chelsea, Reading on loan, Watford on loan, Bournemouth on loan.
Nathan Ake.
Yes!
That's a great one.
Well done.
Manchester
well
City.
Done.
I need all four here then. What are we on now? Seven?
Question seven, yeah.
3-3-0.
3-3-0.
You don't want a clean sheet in this quiz.
Oh, mate.
You don't worry, you've had your moment.
I know.
You can still
come back. I know, Jay.
You said that like with such conviction.
Question seven. Who is the only team outside of England to win the FA Cup?
Cardiff.
Correct. Cardiff City.
It's fine, isn't it?
The FA Cup in 1927 when they beat Arsenal 1-0.
Darn it.
Good guess. It was between them and Swansea.
Yeah. But yeah, the only team. That's quite crazy, don't you think? Yeah.
It's a good question, Joe.
It's not open to anybody else out of things, so it has to be them, really. Because no Scottish teams.
What's the score? 4-3?
Nil. I can only blow it up for you, mate.
Question.
Nick one now, Watto.
I know.
8. What is Burnley's nickname?
Tight.
No, Clarence.
Fuck!
Huh? Clarets.
The Clarets.
Tight.
Barnsley. You're just thinking about me, mate, aren't you? Hey, do you know what? I'll give you an interesting stat. Barnsley won the FA Cup, you know?
Did they?
And it were a very famous year for two reasons.
The war.
No. One, Barnsley won it. And what were the second reason?
Coronation?
The Titanic sank.
Oh, wow.
1912. There's a while fact
ago.
For you.
While ago.
Yeah.
Were you playing?
I felt like I was.
Yeah, so Burnley are called the Clarets because of their shirt colour, and they copied Aston Villa.
Ah,
there you
go.
Because they were the top team at the time.
Love that.
Villa.
So scores 4-3-1. Question 9. Who has scored the most Premier League goals who is not an Englishman?
Salah.
No. Who has scored?
Sergio Aguero.
Sergio Aguero is the correct answer. He has scored.
Is that it?
No.
No, it is. It's 5-3-1.
5-3-1?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it is.
So you said earlier and I couldn't play for Mark?
No, there's no chance. You don't get to, your score won't add to Mark.
You said that
no
earlier.
No chance.
Sorry, Mark.
We'll put a Tom at the bottom. You can have one. So Tom,
it'd be a close match with you and me,
Tom's
mate.
Tom's played one game. He's got the same amount of you, what?
All right. You're not doing fucking great. You're not doing anything.
Please. Come on.
Question 10.
Well, Sergio Aguero's got 184 goals, and he's fifth on the list, and Thierry Henry is next with 175 goals, so he's seventh on the list.
Come on, Em.
Question 10. Daniel Sturridge started his senior career at what club?
Chelsea.
No. Daniel Sturridge started his senior career at what club? Manchester City is the correct answer.
I was going to say Birmingham, like just because it's a bit of a rogue one.
Yeah,
or something.
2006, 2009.
Well,
thanks
Mark.
For having me. I'll make
well,
sure.
Well, Mark, well done.
I'll make sure I'm on the other side of the production desk.
Yeah, Mark, can you hurry back, please, mate? It's closer when you're here. God's sake. Well done, Tom. I'm really proud of you, honestly.
Yes, Tom, it's a good win. It's a
cheers,
good win.
Get your sweaty hand off me,
all right? No, I'm so nervous.
You get 85 heart rate. Weirdo. Jamie, brilliant quiz today. Well done.
Well done, mate.
Everybody, thank you for watching. As always, that's a football fill-in. See you soon. Peace.